This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Debt limit talks are being held at the White House as we speak. Will there be a deal? DeSantis announces for president tonight at 6 p.m. Trump is firing on all cylinders. And will Joe Biden make the mortgage crisis even worse in this country? Echoes of 2008. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Thanks for being here. 855-839-1210. You can join me on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. And don't forget, live show Friday in Cape May, New Jersey at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. Want to see you there for our live show. All right, we'll have some new Zeoli Army shirts for you. Tobias Peter is a research fellow and the assistant director of the American Enterprise Institute's Housing Center, and he joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Tobias, how are you?
I am good. Thanks for having me on, Rich.
Absolutely. My pleasure. My pleasure. You wrote a great piece in the Wall Street Journal along with Edward Pinto. Biden courts another mortgage crisis. Housing officials double down on the policies that preceded the crash of 2008. So tell us about it.
Yeah, thanks. So this piece is really about all the moves that the Biden administration has been making, because ultimately we think they could really imperil the safety of the housing finance system. And if you think back about the months, the administration's recent mortgage pricing were to take effect, which generally decreased fees for borrowers with lower credit scores, and they increased fees for those with higher credit scores, and this, of course, garnered a huge public outcry, rightfully so, as I should say. But this change was really just the tip of the iceberg, and the administration has been making other moves, such as on credit scores, on mortgage payment deferrals. All of this requires just as much attention from the public and from Congress. And it's really the mantra at the White House seems to be, or is, to increase racial equity and support for underserved communities, regardless of who gets hurt or how much it costs. And as you said, we've seen this movie before and we know how it ends. And this is all too reminiscent of what happened in the 1990s. And just to give you one example, back in 1994, Fannie Mae, which is one of the big mortgage giants, they stated, and I quote here, that they want to transform the nation's housing finance system and make it accessible to everyone, end quote. And, of course, this ended up with about 14 million borrowers, many of them minorities, falling seriously behind on their mortgages, many of them getting being foreclosed on, and the housing market crashing by 25%. And this piece really sounds the alarm bells. That we should not go down this road, because the moves that they are making is, to quote Yogi Berra, you know, it's deja vu all over again.
Yeah, really, it is. And you point out that, you know, the Federal Housing Finance Agency already distorts the riskiness of loans that it originates. And ultimately, taxpayers are on the hook for these loans. I don't think people realize that. I don't think people understand that and or think about that or why it is that they're on the hook for this. I think people think there's PMI and things like that, and that, you know, if somebody defaults on a loan, well, then, you know, the bank just seizes the house. But clearly that's not the case.
No, that's not at all the case. And I mean, FHA is the Federal Housing Finance Agency. They are overseeing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which have trillions of mortgages, but they have cross subsidies where they take from people with higher credit quality and give it to people with lower credit quality. That is being done to the amount of about $6 billion every year. And that's a huge amount of money. But at the same time, the money is not being saved away. It's just shuffled around. So under the prior FHFA director, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were told to increase their capital buffers, but these capital buffers are still not enough. And so, the taxpayers on the hook for a lot of money if things were to go sour again. And, you know, we've seen how this movie ends in 2008, and we should try everything to avoid a similar meltdown.
You know, it's also infuriating to people who have worked really hard to get good credit and have done the right things that a guy like me, my wife, that we have to basically now pay for people who have risky credit. And we've got to do that because, you know, this administration is all in on their racial equity and underserved communities and everything like this. And I guess the real question is, if people have bad credit, isn't that a sign that maybe they're not a good borrower? And so aren't we then propping up the housing market with people who then might be the very people that end up defaulting on these loans in the first place?
Yeah, that's the obvious question, right? What's been missed in this debate about these credit scores is that these cross subsidies, they have been going on for quite some time, and you know, to the tune of $6 billion per year. But you know, now the White House wants to increase homeownership rate at all costs, and of course we've seen that this did not go well last time around. So rather than learning the obvious lesson and saying, well, you know, maybe we should only give mortgages to the people that can truly afford. And, you know, perhaps we want to help people out a little bit here and there, but we really should make sure that people have the financial staying power, the financial reserves. And at the same time, when they get mortgages, that they build equity quickly. So if home prices decline, they can withstand the shock. Now the Biden administration comes in and, you know, puts the chair on top of it and say, well, you know, if people fall behind, well, we're just going to not have them get foreclosed on. And that's what this new policy comes in, this payment deferral, which is really available to anyone who can demonstrate an eligible hardship. But this eligible hardship was not defined. So and during the COVID period, this was already put in place. But all you had to do is check a box in the form and, you know, basically, have you been negatively impacted by, you know, payment increases, payment shocks? And, you know, of course, you know, everyone could to some extent claim that, especially when inflation is rampant as it is today. So we're going down a very dangerous, a very slippery slope here. This is what we're trying to avoid. And if you think back to student loans were originally, you know, put on the books of the government to save the taxpayer money. And this was meant to finance Obamacare. But ultimately, now, as we're learning with student loan forbearance forgiveness, that could cost the taxpayer up to $500 billion to $1 trillion. And, you know, if you think that's expensive, just wait till this comes to mortgages, because then it gets really expensive.
Tobias Peters here. He is the research fellow and assistant director of the American Enterprise Institute's Housing Center. His latest piece in The Wall Street Journal, Biden courts another mortgage crisis. It's interesting to me to look into this as you break down some of the numbers here. The last great credit expansion done with the goal of expanding home ownership in the run-up to the 2008 crisis left 14 million borrowers, many of them minorities, seriously behind on their mortgages as home prices crashed by more than 25%. So I guess one of the unintended consequences of what this administration is trying to do now is you're going to take a housing market, which right now already has very tight inventory, and there's going to be an effect on the housing market. I mean, there's no question about that, right? As you've got more borrowers who are eligible to buy, something is going to happen. What do you think that is going to be? Because, I mean, that's the piece of this I can't predict. You know, as more borrowers are now eligible to get mortgages, because they shouldn't be necessarily, but they are, what effect does that have?
Well, I mean, if you have, you know, limited, as you said, if you have limited supply and you are greasing demand, with these policies, you're going to increase the price of housing. Housing is going to get more expensive. And as we know, if house prices go up, that eventually filters down and the rental price is going to go up. So housing is going to become more expensive for everyone. But then at the same time, because housing is getting unaffordable, the administration is going to say, look, people are getting priced out of the housing market. We need to do something for them, and we need to, you know, increase our policies that we've been, you know, that we're helping, trying to help people, especially minorities and low income people. And we need to double our efforts, which of course we still have a supply shortage, is going to increase prices even more. But at the same time, you are gradually ratcheting up the risk because people have to overextend themselves to buy more expensive housing. And that's exactly what happened during the Great Financial Crisis, in the run-up to the Great Financial Crisis, when the government said we need more lower-income minority home buyers, and they put in place the affordable housing goals, and they told Fannie, the government, HUD, the Housing and Urban Development, told Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, you need to make more loans to lower-income and minority borrowers. And they did, but the risk kept creeping up and, kind of got to the point where in 2008, we ended up in a full-blown crisis where 14 million borrowers defaulted, and that's just not the right policy, and we should really try something else, and the something else is we need to increase the supply of housing, because that's really the root cause of what's driving home prices.
You know, as we sit here and I think about something you wrote, that many on the left now consider credit scores to be racist. Okay, but whether they are or they aren't, I think it's a stupid thing to say, but I mean, there's still a predictor, right? I mean, credit companies are, everybody hates them. I hate them. Nobody likes them, but they still are a tool and a predictor. If I'm going to lend somebody money, what am I supposed to do if I don't have a way of figuring out if this person's going to be a good borrower or not? And then to eliminate that completely, to just say that these things are going to cease to exist. I mean, in my mind, you're just asking for trouble, because at least credit scores give lenders the ability to say no to people. And if they go away, what does a lender do then? I mean, is then saying no going to be viewed as racist, so that if I don't give you a loan, if I don't approve a credit card, if I don't approve a mortgage, if I don't approve these things, I'm going to be viewed as being racist?
Well, I mean, the obvious goal here is to expand homeownership opportunities for lower income and underserved communities. That's the obvious goal. And what we found when we looked at these credit scores, and the Federal Reserve did probably the best study on this, and they found in 2005, they found that credit scores are absolutely not racist. They replicated the methodology that FICO created, and they said, credit scores are not racist. So that's point number one. But because the median black individual today has a credit score of 620, that's, very deep into subprime territory. So if you really want to expand the homeownership rate amongst black individuals, you really need to either get rid of credit scores altogether, or you really need to widen the credit box. And the progressives seem to be wanting to go down the road of either getting rid of credit scores altogether, or the government creating their own credit repository where the government would create credit scores. And of course, as we all know, we know where this is going to end, where, all these cross subsidies that we've seen on the mortgage front, they're just going to be turbocharged, and everyone's going to get the same score ultimately. So we really need to be careful here. What's going on? We really need to hold the administration to the fire.
Yeah, no question about it. Tobias Peter, thank you so much for making the time today. I appreciate it. We'll post a link to your op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, we got a lot to talk about today. It's a busy, busy day. I'll give you the update on what's going on with the debt ceiling limit. And also a question that I think a lot of us are wondering right now is Twitter really a far-right platform? Plus, Target taking down their Pride displays in stores. Now, why would they do such a thing? Because of the backlash. That's why. Backlash everywhere. People are saying no. People are turning around and saying no. Enough is enough with this nonsense. You've gone too far. You've involved children, and we're saying no. And Target is now facing this backlash, as other brands are as well. So we're going to talk about that as the show goes on today. Plus, there's more news about the FBI and the IRS and all of these horrible, no good, very bad government agencies with three letters that are targeting American citizens, including Matt Taibbi, the journalist who exposed the Twitter files and had the FBI knock on, or the IRS show up and knock on his door. Well, Jim Jordan, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, has sent a letter to the IRS demanding answers, as this investigation looks like it's heating up. And Republicans are also furious with Christopher Wray. Christopher Wray, of course, being the FBI director who should have been fired a long time ago And I think one of Donald Trump's major, major failures was appointing Christopher Wray, with Chris Christie's recommendation, to be the FBI director. So that's heating up as well. So lots going on today. And yes, they had a hearing on gas stoves, and Democrats did not bother to show up about the government confiscating your gas stove. And they may one day, of course, not really confiscate, but ban them. That is something they may do. And I've got some great audio for you on that as well. But listen, just yesterday, had a wonderful cooler show up at my house, loaded up with delicious Omaha steaks. Now, I'm a dad. And I know this, being a dad now for many years. And I'm also a son, so I have a dad. And I know that we are tired of getting ties. We don't need a new shirt. We don't need another golf club. No, what we want is great food. What we want this Father's Day is Omaha Steaks. Father's Day memories will happen around the grill. They always do. And right now, when you go to omahasteaks.com, put in my name, Zeoli, at checkout, Z-E-O-L-I, you will get $30 off your qualifying order at omahasteaks.com. Give dad what he wants this Father's Day, a wonderful way to enjoy summer grilling outside with his family. And they got so many great packages to choose from, including fork tender bacon wrapped filet mignons, gourmet grillables like air chilled chicken breasts, burgers, jumbo franks, and so much more. And also dessert, caramel apple tartlets as well. It's a great package. And you get $30 off your qualifying order when you go to omahasteaks.com and give dad what he wants, all right? The one thing we know is that dads want steak, and Omaha Steaks is the leader in the most delicious steaks you can find, way better than anything you're going to get at the grocery store. And at a price like this, you can't pass it up, because who else is giving you $30 off at checkout? No one, except Omaha Steaks. So do it today. Omahasteaks.com, promo code Zeoli at checkout. Father's Day is right around the corner, so please, don't wait. Do it now so that you will get there. You'll get it delivered for dad in time. And hey, if you're thinking about a nice gift for yourself, dads, use my name, Zeoli. Get $30 off. Minimum order may be required. See site for details. OmahaSteaks.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.